Okay, we continue in the Sefer Mesillas Yesharim with the commentary of the Vilvavi Mishkan Evne. We're on page Pei Ches. Yesterday, we were discussing how you cannot leave your Avodas Hashem to habit. And if you leave things to habit, not only will things not be as good as they can be, you can be doing things incorrectly, and not only in simple mitzvah observance, but even in aspects of Yiras Shemayim and loving Hashem. And if one, and now the Mesillas Yesharim continues the next couple lines, he says, May ayin yavo hadveikus v'hahis lahatus b'nafsho seinu imo yisparchim taraso. He says, how can a person come to, and now he's going to say two terms that we're going to spend the morning discussing what these terms mean. Dveikus and hislahatus. Dveikus simply translated means cleaving. How does one reach that one's our soul can cleave with Hashem in His Torah? And also the word hislahatus, which is a hard word to translate. So we'll just, but the simple translation would be, how can one set ablaze one's soul, to put one's soul on fire? So there's a concept of dveikus, clinging, cleaving, and hislahatus, setting on fire.
Igniting?
Maybe igniting. But more it's like making a fire. I mean, it's igniting, you start the fire, but like a blaze. Igniting means just start a fire, for it to be blazing. So where is that going to come from? Both of those things. Imlo nisha el gidulaso vel romemuso asher yolid bilibeinu hadveikus hazeh. If we don't pay heed to his, another two terms he's going to explain, his gidula, his greatness, ves romemuso, and his loftiness, which would therefore give birth in our hearts to this clinging to Hashem. In other words, he's saying, where is dveikus, where is hislahatus in our souls going to come from if we don't pay attention to Hashem's greatness and His loftiness, that will therefore give forth this clinging to Hashem? Which, in the theme of what the Mesillas Yesharim is saying, is that we've got to pay attention to our avodas Hashem. You can't just do things robotically. You just can't do things out of habit. Doing things out of habit will not generate dveikus, will not generate hislahatus, and that really is what the religion's all about, is to feel close to Hashem and to be on fire. And that doesn't come from routine. It has to come from paying heed to His greatness and His loftiness. So now we're going to spend at least today, and most likely into the next session, explaining these terms over here. It says, "Reishis aleinu ladas ki yesh chiluk bein dveikus lislahatus." First, we have to know there's a difference between the word dveikus, clinging, and the word hislahatus, setting ablaze. L'ponim anashim notim la'areves hamusag dveikus lislahatus. Sometimes people mix up these two terms. We see someone does something when he's on fire. When he's on fire means, you know, he's davening strong and he's into it, you know, running to do a mitzvah. It's excitement. I mean, once you're on fire, you're excited, right? So you see people doing like that. We define his avodas Hashem, and we say like this. Ruas ploni echu osa dover mitoch dveikus. Ooh, look how this guy is doing something out of a state of dveikus. Dveikus enenu hislahatus, hislahatus enu dveikus. Dveikus is not hislahatus, hislahatus is not dveikus. Okay, I don't have to translate those two terms anymore, right? Dveikus means feeling close to Hashem, cleaving to Him, and hislahatus means being on fire, being excited, enthusiastic. So now let's define the terms. Maya hislahatus. What is hislahatus? So the answer is, now this is where, you know, you have to take a little bit beyond the simple meaning. Adam lahut lasik mashu. A person, you know, is on fire when he wants to reach something, when he wants to get someplace. Im hukfar dovak, if he's already attached and he's already clinging, bo, to what he wants, hulo lohu rachav, he's not running after it now. Hukfar nimtsesa, it's already there. In other words, the idea of using hislatus, you're on fire, but you're trying to get somewhere. Trying to achieve something. Right? If you already have what you have, you don't have to be on fire anymore. Mashlama dovar, let's give an example. Aramena lohu racharatzo, a person isn't on fire after himself, to catch himself. Ki atzmo nimtsoi b'kirvatom, because he's always with himself. Hulod achar ma shechuslo. He is lahut. Lahut is from the same root. He's lahatus. He's excited. He's on fire for something that's outside of himself, such as the aspect of bechinas mayim genuvim yimtaku. Like there's the Chazal say an aspect of stolen waters are sweet, right? Tamid ha'adam rotsa dover she'enenishlo. Person always wants things that are not his. So let's say a man is courting a woman, okay, and he really wants this woman. So we're gonna say, well, he's really trying to get her, right? So you could say he's on fire. He's trying to catch her. He's trying to, you know, get this relationship going, right? He's excited. He's right. You know, will I be able to marry her? Will I be able to get her, right? But once he's married to her, we don't use the term he's on fire now. We'll say he cleaves to her. If you're cleaving to something already, there's no need to be on fire to, you know, on fire means you're expending lots of effort in a goal, trying to reach a goal. But if you already are clinging, then you've achieved the goal and there's a different emotion, a different behavior that one has when one is already cleaving to the object of one's desire.
You have to start with being on fire then first.
Well, that to be able to reach something that's beyond you, you've got to expend lots of energy and lots of excitement in order to achieve that goal. Right?
So that would seem to be reverse of what we said, clinging and then being on fire.
He just said the two terms. He didn't necessarily say an order. These two terms.
Okay.
He says, that's atzma yesh lo kfar. If a person has himself already, ulukachlo margish bazeh onek, he doesn't really feel any pleasure. But hu mechapes tamid dvar mibuchutz. He's always looking for other things that are outside of himself. He's always looking, what's the next thing I don't have? What's the next thing I'm looking for? So, you know, you can achieve a certain level. Even your avodas Hashem, you could be dovuk to a certain point, and then you have to be on fire to get to the next point. Just like in the physical world, we just learned the Gemara Makkos in the early class, which you already learned a while ago. It says a person who wants money isn't satisfied with money. And then they said, it also means a person who wants mitzvahs isn't satisfied with mitzvahs. Meaning to say, let's say you could be dovuk tashem in a certain area of, you know, avodas Hashem, but you want more. You want more. So then you have to get on fire to achieve that next level, where lots of effort has to be made. Once you're already there, then that itself is its own good feeling. Right, but then becomes the desire to move on to the next level, and you have to turn yourself on fire to be able to move to that next level. So he continues to explain. Hislatus he efo limtso hashlame b'chutz. Hislatus means trying to find perfection from something that's beyond you. Umar hadveikus, and what is dveikus? Dveikus, I mean, it's simply also when something is, on a simple level, when you look at a fire, something's burning, what does the fire do? What does a fire do?
Consumes.
It consumes, in what direction does it consume?
Upwards.
It consumes towards the next thing that it hasn't consumed. Let's say I have a stack of papers on this table. Big stack of papers. I got a fire over here.
Yeah.
So what's it doing? It's looking forward to consume the rest of the everything else that's beyond it. That's what a fire does. A fire doesn't just stay in its one place unless there's nothing else for it to reach. It wants to reach the next thing that it hasn't reached, and to consume that. It has to be a reason why it's using such a word that has to do with fire. The guy's on fire, so he's on fire. So what does it mean he's on fire? Because he's trying to consume the next level. He's trying to achieve the next goal. That's the real definition of it. Not just meaning, you know, he's davening passionately. He's davening passionately. You're trying to reach a new level. Now, umal dveikus, what is dveikus? Dveikus u'kfar kasher adam davak v'davar. Dveikus is when you're already attached to something. As the Torah says, al ken yazov isha sovi v'esimo v'davak v'ishto v'hayu l'basar echad. Therefore, a man will leave his father and mother, and he will attach himself to his wife, and they will be for one as one flesh. So that's the first time it says the word davak, to cling. When two are attached and become one. Just like you're not on fire to achieve something that you're already there with. You're not on fire with something that you are totally attached to as well. So Elu Hain, that's what it is. Im Kain Shtei Avodah Shonos, there's two different services to Hashem. Avodah Achas Lahagia Lehislahatus, one Avodah is to reach a stage of Hislahatus. V'Avodah Nasevas Lahagia L'Dveikus is another stage to reach Dveikus. So that there's two different statuses. Either you've reached the stage where you're at one with the object, and then in terms of that level of being attached, there's no hislatus, and then there's to go beyond. And to go beyond requires more effort and more fire to be able to achieve the next goal. You could say like this. I hope I give a good example over here. In this week's Parsha, Hashem, it says, Vayera Hashem el Avram, Hashem appears to Avram in Elone Mamre. Right? So what was the purpose of Hashem's appearance to Avram? So, two opinions. Rashi says, because Avram was recovering from his circumcision, so Hashem came to do a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick. Ramban says, it was a revelation of the Shechina. It was Hashem came in a prophecy with no goal other than that he should be close to Avram, and Avram should be close to him. And that itself was the goal. And that is what we would call Dveikus. For now, Avram was clinging to Hashem. That's what a Nevuah is. That's what
Hashem came to Avram.
And now Avram and Hashem are clinging one with each other. They're clinging one with each other. They're attached. They're at one. They're at one. You know, what do you do if a parent visits a child, and now they're in the house together? They're feeling this closeness. They're together. So that's one definition. That's one, and when you're clinging with someone, especially if you're clinging with Hashem, there's not a lot of effort made to achieve anything because you're already there. The effort is to enjoy the moment. To enjoy the moment, right? That's the avoda is Hashem is here. I'm enjoying the moment, right? I'm at that state of dveikus. I'm now attached to Hashem, right? And there's things you do to get attached to Hashem. But now that you are davuk, so basically it means surrendering your space to Hashem. When you're attached to anyone, the degree that you're attached to the person is to the degree that you nullify your separate existence. If two beings each are recognizing their own existence only, and only caring about themselves, even if they're next to each other, they're not attached to each other. They're attached to each other if each one gives up his space so the other one can get into their space. That's how you get attached. Right? The only way you feel at one with someone is if you give up your identity so that you merge into a greater identity. So to be Dovak Hashem, if you think you're the biggest, greatest guy in the world, and you say, okay, you know, I'll let Hashem visit me, you're not going to achieve Dvekus. He'll be in your presence, but it's not Dovak. Dovak means you're attached, you're clinging. You don't see yourself as a separate entity to the object of that which you are attached to. That's what real Dvekus is. If not, it's just two entities that are still not attached. You could be next to each other, still not attached. You could have husbands and wives that are married for years. There's no Dvekus there. It says the guy leaves his father and mother, and they become, he's doubled to them, and they become one flesh. How can you be one flesh if you have your opinion, she has their opinion, you're always arguing with each other, you don't really care what the other person's doing. When the other person's there, you're thinking of other things. Right? You know, it's not the time to be on fire. It's not time to be on fire. It's the time to surrender one's reality to the greater reality, which is the unified whole that has now been achieved. That is what Dvekus is. And that's what Avram was having when Hashem came to him. Total Dvekus. But then come the three Arabs that are walking by, and now there's a mitzvah opportunity that comes to Avram. And what is this mitzvah opportunity? As we've said in the past, you know, it was... Why was Avram at the door? Because he was looking for guests. Why was he looking for guests? Because it was the hottest day in the history of the world. So why did Hashem make it such a hot day? Because he didn't want Avram to be disturbed. He didn't want any guests to come, so he could recover properly. And then Hashem found out that Avram was very disturbed that he had no guests. So he was very disturbed he had no guests. Hashem had to provide him with guests. So what did Hashem do? He brought the three angels as people. He did another miracle.
Are they angels or Arabs? What are they?
They look like Arabs. They're angels. They were malachim. They were absolutely malachim.
So why do you look for them as Arabs?
They looked like Arabs. Avram thought they were Arabs. He didn't think they were malachim. If they were malachim, he wouldn't offer them hospitality. They don't need hospitality. As far as Avram was concerned, there were three Arabs, three Bedouins. And he was there to give them hachnas asorchem. But they really were angels. So the question that all the rabbis ask is, it was the hottest day of the year, it was already one miracle that Hashem made. So he makes it the hottest day of the year, and he sees that it's upsetting Avraham, so he has to have guests. So the question is, so why didn't Hashem just take away the heat, and the guests would come by themselves? Right, that's a question. Now anyway, what do we see? What does Avraham do when the guests come? He runs to the guests! He runs to them. Why? Because he's on fire. He's on fire. That's what running always represents. When you run, that means you're on fire. Right? So what's he running to? What's he running to? He's running to the guests. So why does he have to run to the guests? Well, he's on fire. But what's he on fire for? Taking the guests. But you have to understand a little deeper. The reason why Hashem had to make another miracle to send angels instead of taking away the heat is because when Avram, his whole life, he was involved in the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim, he always did it very beautifully, but he did it within a natural realm of reality. He would expend as much effort as he could to take care of guests. But now, suffering from the circumcision, and it also is the hottest day of the year, and Avram is saying to Hashem, he's saying, where are my guests? Which means, he is saying, Hashem, I want to perform the mitzvah, Chnasas Orchim, in a qualitatively different way than I've ever done before in my life. I want to do it while it's, you know, 65 degrees Fahrenheit out there. Like, it's incredibly, Celsius. I'm sorry, Celsius, thank you. We'll say 120 Fahrenheit. Okay, it's like incredibly 150 here in Fahrenheit, whatever. It's like unbelievably hot. He said, I want to go beyond the limits of a human being can to do this mitzvah. Because he is trying to reach new levels of hospitality than ever reached. New levels of Avodas Hashem. And for that, you got to expend a lot of effort. You better be on fire. So that's the example. The Dvekus was the first pasuk in the Parsha. He was Davak Hashem, and that needed one avoda, is to surrender yourself before Hashem, and to be able to be incorporated into His greater existence, and therefore that will give you the greatest pleasure of the connection to Hashem. And then he switches channels to his lahatus, to be on, and you see the whole thing. Once they come in, then he runs, keeps saying he runs. He runs here, he runs there, he runs everywhere. He's running, running. What are you running for? Because he's on fire. He's on fire. Why? Because he wants to achieve a new level of Avodas Hashem. Right? So that clearly, it requires two different avodos. When you're on fire, you gotta know exactly what you're doing, and you are the person making it happen, and you generate the fire and the excitement and the passion and all those things to do the mitzvahs in that way, because you're trying to achieve something that you don't have. And every new mitzvah, you try a new area of Jewish observance, you need to have passion, because you're trying to bring in a new area of Avodas Hashem into the way you serve Hashem. And then comes the Dveikus. Then that's really, isn't that really what the 6 days of the week are? And Shabbos? Right? And Shabbos, it says the way you walk, the way you move on Shabbos is different than the way you move during the 6 days of the week. 6 days of the week, you're running. You're running to do the will of Hashem. Have you ruts kinamer? Run like the deer. Right? Bold as the leopard, run like the deer. Why? You gotta be out as ferocious as the lion. Why? Those are all descriptions of animals that are on fire. So be on fire all 6 days a week, because I have to achieve new levels. I have to achieve new levels. I have to grow, I have to grow, I have to move. Right? So, and that's what it says when you go to shul, you should be running into the shul. Mitzvah Shulchan Aruch says. Not the whole way from home, but you're a few feet.
You're not allowed to run on Shabbos.
I didn't say Shabbos, I'm saying 6 days of the week.
Oh, okay.
6 days a week. You see that you're a few feet away from the door of the shul, you run into the shul. That's what you run. Alacrity. You're on fire. You're on fire to do a mitzvah. Somebody comes in for a sukkah, you're running to do the mitzvah. Running shows you're on fire. Right? So 6 days of the week, you're on fire. Mamash on fire. I'm trying to collect as much mitzvahs as I can during the week. Then on Shabbos, the halacha is you stop running. Because on Shabbos now, you're meant to achieve the real state of dveikus. Which is, it's not running anymore. It's not me anymore. It's my feeling at one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore everything stops. You stop working. You stop doing other things. Even your religious. The way you do things religiously is different. Forget about working to making a living. We're not even talking about that. You don't run to do mitzvahs on Shabbos. You sit back and take delight and pleasure in being at one with Hashem on this new level that you've achieved during these 6 days of the week. That's what it's all about. You're spending a whole 6 days. You learned another 2 pages of Gemara. Now you're that much more closer to understanding the way Hashem thinks. You did X amount of chesed, and you were running to that. You grew. You now added into your account from Saturday night to Friday afternoon this much more. Right? And now you want to appreciate the feeling of the closeness to Hashem, a higher level of closeness that you had on this Shabbos and the last Shabbos, because you've done so much more to show your love for Hashem. So it's always meant to grow. So hislahatus during the 6 days of the week, dveikus on Shabbos. Of course, you can reach even higher levels. You can try to reach levels of dveikus all 7 days of the week, but that's already the next step in Avodas Hashem. But on the simple level, that's what these. So it requires different spiritual focus and activity. There's the one that's rushing and running and accomplishing, and you're on fire to accomplish goals. And that's all you could see the difference. Look at a typical Orthodox teenager, to do a mitzvah, darum, 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 darum. davening soon. Oh, I'll get there, I'll get there. Like, oh, I got it so early. Right? There's like no hislatus with teenagers in general. Not everyone, but I'd say 95% of them. Right? They're not excited to do anything. Well, look at a person's a Baal Tshuva, freshly brewed Baal Tshuva. It's excited about everything, wants to do the next mitzvah, jumping to do the next mitzvah. Right? There's another thing, I never did this one before, woo! Right? That's where it should be all the time, during the 6 days of the week. You're excited for the next davening. Oh, I'm gonna achieve a new level now with this davening. I'm gonna achieve a new Gemara. Wow, amazing! Right? More uncharted territory that I'm going to access and bring into my reality. That, you have to be on fire. You're consuming more territory in your Avodas Hashem and growing through the process. And the fire is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But then you come before Hashem, you ain't on fire before Hashem. You recognize who He is and what's going on, and you're trying to attach yourself to Him, and therefore you have to do it all, you have to put the brakes on and say, no, I'm surrendering. Everything I accomplished was only to be with You. You know, all week long the husband is working hard to make a living, and he worked very hard to bring the wife the flowers and this and that, but now he's with his wife. Stop rushing. Enjoy being with your wife. You don't have to accomplish anything more now. You've done everything to get yourself to be with your wife. Now be with your wife. That's why even on Shabbos, really, you're not supposed to be thinking, you know, in general, you know, what you're going to do during the next week. On Shabbos, you don't think about, on every level, you don't think about what business deal am I going to make, for sure not. But the truth is, you shouldn't even be thinking about what next levels of Avodas Hashem am I going to do. That's not what you're supposed to think about on Shabbos. And Shabbos, you're supposed to think about one thing. I've worked 6 days very hard to get to be with You, Hashem, and now I want to enjoy being with You. And then when Shabbos is over and you have to say goodbye to Hashem, you say, okay, now I got to go back and figure out ways to get even closer to You by next Shabbos. You understand? That's what it's all about. So that's clearly the difference. Yislahatus, tveikus. How many Jews think that way? How many Jews think that way?
You
know,
many.
It's, they think one thing. Shabbos, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. The opposite of Tveikus, I'm out. Right? Gotta run around for 6 more days to work and make a living. You could have these latus for the wrong things too, and Tveikus for the wrong things too. Could be dovuk to the money. And it's latus for fame and fortune and all those other things. And that's the antithesis of what we're trying to do. But all these characteristics and ideas can be used for things that aren't necessarily going to enhance your Avodas Hashem. But that's clearly, that's the best way I can define the differences between it's latus. Therefore, during the week, it's a mitzvah to run. Especially on Erev Shabbos. Remember we learned halacha? We learned it, in one of the Bubba's, right? What if Bubba Kama, right? You run into a guy in Rosh Hasharabim and you damage him, your putter. And we said, what was that? When running on Erev Shabbos. Remember we learned that? Running on Erev Shabbos. I have to rush. I have to get ready for Shabbos. I have to reach a new level. I'm rushing. I'm on fire. Can you imagine? One guy's on fire. Another guy's on fire. They're going to run into each other. They could hurt each other. Well, you're not chayav to pay. Because Erev Shabbos is the day to have the most hislahatus. You got to really be on fire. You know, and it plays itself out in a physical way and a spiritual way. There's a lot to do physically to get ready for Shabbos, but there's a lot to do spiritually to get ready for Shabbos. So that's rushing and running and this and that. And on Shabbos, your mamish not allowed to run. What's the Shem got against you running? Does it bother him? No. Running means it by definition means I'm trying to get somewhere. On Shabbos, you don't have to get anywhere. You're already there. If you're already there, stop running. Physically, stop running in your mind. Right? And therefore, like I said before, really, 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 but it's, of course, doesn't work that way. The kind of learning you do on Shabbos, right, should only be what kind of learning? Review. Not to learn new things. Because that means you're running to the next thing. But what do you do? And most people in the world don't even learn the whole week. So then you have to learn something, so it's going to be new. It's better to have his lahatus than nothing. Right? But people who really spent the whole week learning, even what we're learning, right? So you're learning in the morning for six times, you're learning at night 6 times, and you're learning. So when are you going to review it? Shabbos day to review it. Take pleasure. Be dovuk. You know, you're breaking your head trying to understand the Gemara. And it's hard. With some hard Gemaras this week. Okay, but then you got it, but first of all, you're going to forget it if you don't review it. Second of all, now take pleasure in that Gemara. You're working hard. You had to be on fire. You go to Gemara class. Go to any class. You can just sit back and say, okay, there was one principal I worked for. He said the way he wanted students to learn. He says, there's a physical posture in learning that you can be sitting in a class like this. Just send it to me. I'm already like not doing anything. Or he had this term called bent to the task. You learn like this. You see the difference? You're engaged. Being engaged. Right? That is hislatus. Okay, you can't run while you're learning. You can't run while you're learning. But you can run, meaning to say, I'm actively pushing myself to be focused and to paying attention, and my mind is working. You know, that's why you can't come to a class when you're half asleep. Because you're not going to be on fire. You have to be on fire when you're, and that's why learning, really, you're on fire. And really, there's a lot of questions and back and forth, and you're arguing in this because you're trying to understand what's going on over there. So it's hard. It's hard work. You got to be on fire, right? So and you're suffering because I don't understand this. It makes sense, isn't it? Then you finally get it. So now you finally get it. What you're really supposed to do then is review it. You know, it's like I'll give you a good mashal. Okay, I think this is the best mashal. Just Hashem just gave me a great idea. Thank you. Why do they spend so much time? You can go and watch the replays of a sporting event. And people will watch it even if they went to the game. Right? Why? You saw it once already. Let's say your favorite player plays, your favorite team, your favorite player, and he scores a hat trick. He scores 3 goals. Yeah, you get a certain. It's your team. It's your team. You get a, now. You went to the game, and when they scored the goals, you were mamash on fire, right? You're on fire. Yeah, great. And then you come home, and you tell it was a great game. Says, well, they got the highlights on at the 11 o'clock news. Oh, I got to see the highlights. Now you don't have to go to 11 o'clock news. You just go online. It's all there. So the guy, why will the guy go online and not look at those goals again? Relive the play, because he now is in a state of dveikus with the game. It's now like, I got a lot of pleasure to see the finesse of that goal. You're at one with the game. It's a replay. And you can watch, and if it's especially good play, you'll replay it 3, 4, 5 times. That was really a nice goal. That was really good. Right? And that's, why you saw it. Okay, they won the game, you're happy, but you want to be at one with the moment. So why don't we say the same thing with our learning of Torah? Our learning of Torah, we just got through a whole piece of Gemara, you scored a goal. Baruch Hashem, you understood a new part of God's wisdom. So now you want to enjoy the moment. So now on Shabbos, let me go it over. It's so interesting. The Yetzirah to not review is so strong. I don't know why, you get it from being, at the time when you were a kid in school. I just remember when the Rebbe says, and now we start Chazar, we go, oh. It's like, I learned it already. Like, as if you really think you know it, right? But the point of the review is to really reach a dveikus now in your learning with Hashem. In other words, there's two types of learning. There's the hislahatus, you're on fire to get it. I would probably suggest if you never were on fire during the learning, you don't plan on being a dvekas with the learning either. But if you were learning it on fire, you say, okay, I got it, it's really good. But now I'm going to review it, so now I can be at one with the Gemara. Be at one with the ideas. You go through a Gemara, you go, okay, I follow the logic. You know, that's nice, you're following it. Okay, why in a week are you going to totally forget it? Going to totally forget it because you didn't review it, because that you didn't become at one with it. And, you know, to be at one with God's, it's all God's Torah. It's God. It's that's one way of being at one with Hashem. There's other ways. Davening is another way to be davening to Hashem, but to be at one with Hashem's word. So you do that by reviewing it more and more, and more of the insight seeps into you. And then you, mamash, are clinging to it. So when are you supposed to reach that level of clinging to the Gemara? On Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're not meant to work hard. First time you go through a Gemara, you're working hard. Second and third time, I had to put a chart on the board. You know, the first time I look at it, I don't know what's going on in this Gemara. And I look at it again, by the third, the fourth, the fifth time. You know, then I get it. And then when I teach it to you guys, and you guys bring up questions I didn't think about, oh, I was struggling again. And try to get it more. Now what should be happening in a perfect world is the whole Shabbos, we should spend just reviewing what we learned. And as many times as you can. Over and over and over. Watching the replay over and over. That's an amazing Gemara. So delicious, that Gemara. How Rabbi Shimon could think of that idea, and how Rava could argue on him, and what it's really based on, and what the fundamentals are. And you're going over, and I got it, I really have it, I understand it. You know, and then, you know, that's just one little piece of the Talmud. And on next week, I've got to be on fire to get the next two pages of the Gemara. Do you understand the difference?
I understand the difference.
Now, how is it, the kids in school, unfortunately, most kids in school, I'm not blaming them, I'm just saying what, and I'm getting into the causes and the reasons. I'm saying it isn't there to begin with, and certainly on Shabbos it ain't there. The last thing they want to do is open up a Gemara. Most kids. There's a few nice ones that are different. And in theory, the teachers say, okay, now study, going to have a Gemara test on Sunday. Review everything. They weren't on fire to begin with. They ain't going to be at one with it later. Right? Okay, so it needs a certain kind of Rebbe. It needs a certain kind of environment. It needs a certain kind of society. I mean, you could see this a little bit if you go to certain cheders in Yerushalayim. Certain schools in Yerushalayim where they are on fire. You can go during the week, you see the kids on fire, and on Shabbos they're going it over. That's the way it's supposed to be. But if most of the people in the shul aren't learning the whole week, so what am I going to do on Shabbos? Go over Gemara? They don't even know it.
Maybe we should have a separate class.
Start to separate it.
I'm just saying, you know.
As they're learning it, just...
Wow.
I'm just saying, you know, we're coming out of the long Friday nights. In another couple of weeks, then change the clock. What do you think the long Friday nights are there for? Everyone says to sleep. I'm not saying you shouldn't sleep a little bit, right? But there's only so much you can sleep, right? But you're leaving shul after davening 6 o'clock. You're already having your meal by 6 o'clock. How long can you have a meal already? 2 hours? Right? 2 hours. Okay, it's a nice meal. It's a long meal. 2 hour meal. How long's your meal during the week? 10 minutes?
Maybe
15. It's okay. A 2 hour meal. That's a real nice meal. That's with Zmiros and talking about and catching up and everything. Okay, now you get 8 o'clock. Right? You don't got to be in shul until 8 o'clock the next day. You need 12 hours to be in bed? I don't think so. All right, so I'll give you a good break. Let's sleep 8 hours. Like, that's way more than anybody ever needs to sleep. 8 hours. We got 4 more hours. All right, so I got 4 hours to review. Find a chavrusa Friday night. You know, or if you're too tired, okay, then you get up at, if you're going to bed at 8 o'clock at night, you're up at 4 in the morning. Right? So get a chavrusa for 4 in the morning, and now, learn for the next 4 hours before davening. Not you got to. That's what. Or if you have in the summer a long Shabbos afternoon, then the long Shabbos afternoon, spend the time reviewing. That's really the kind of learning that should be happening. In theory, I mean, it never was till recently. Within 100 years ago, I think a rabbi got up and gave a sermon. He gave a sermon for everybody to have a plan to do. They had a review. What are you talking about? The rabbi was giving the classes the whole week long. He was giving the Gemara Shir, giving that class, giving this class, right? And on Shabbos, everyone knew, everybody reviewed. He had a question, went to the rabbi, he asked him a question. They all were in the base medrash learning, and you didn't you reviewed, he had a question, went to the rabbi, he answered you the question. That was the extent of how he worked on Shabbos. Right? Now it's all frakert. People don't learn during the week, so they gotta learn on Shabbos, so the rabbi's teaching them on Shabbos. Okay, it's certainly better than doing nothing, it's certainly better than sleeping the whole Shabbos, but you see how far away we are from the way it should be? In yeshiva, the rebbes didn't give shir on Shabbos. They gave shir 6 days in a week. So Shabbos, you reviewed. So that's the 6 days is hislahatus, and the seventh day is dveikus. Because remember, what's Shabbos? Shabbos is me'ein olam haba, is a taste of the world to come. What is the world to come? Is the world to come hislahatus or dveikus? Dveikus. When the world to come, there's nothing for you to do now. You ain't on fire anymore.
All the learning is done.
It's all done. Everything is done. You're just at one with Hashem. And that's the way it is for the rest of your existence. Right? Dveikus. So Shabbos has to parallel that. So how much dveikus are you going to have in the next world? Depending on how much hislahatus you had in this world. Right? And how much you were able to appreciate dveikus in this world too. Right? So that's the idea. So I think that's a good, that's what Avraham Avinu was doing in this week's Parsha. Right? And there's a time to be a Dveikus, and there's a time to be a Slatus. He said, Hashem, in this world I'm Dovuk to you, but then there's a time you want me to grow, and I have to move further. I have to have a Slatus for the next level, and I'll come back to you, and I'll have Dveikus on a higher level. And it's a beautiful, virtuous circle. Right? So that's what Shabbos should be.
But don't you
see, I'm becoming very Hasidish because now whenever I'm talking now, I automatically just swing it into Shabbos. You notice how that's how the Rebbe. I'm not comparing myself Chashvon to any Rebbe's, but you look at any shmuz from a Rebbe, any Hasidish is safer, and they say, and this is what Shabbos is.
Yeah.
This is the aspect. It's all everything always comes back to Shabbos.
That's right.
So even explaining these, it always comes back to Shabbos. It's the core of everything. Yeah.
But we learned so many times like. You need to, have dveikus during the week. Like you can't just. I realize it's different on Shabbos, and that's the ultimate dveikus you're going to get for the week. But you have to cling to God the other 6 days of the week. You just can't.
Right. Say, so then we go on to the next level where you have to put Shabbos into the weekday. That even gets to the higher level. You're right. Then you want to get to levels where there's dveikus 7 days of the week. But we're not holding by that.
You remember when we did one of the earlier books?
Yeah.
You go into IKEA and you want to be, God should be with you when you go into IKEA.
That's right. So there's aspects. Yeah.
So you need to have that.
Right, but that.
All week.
Right, but where is it going to generate from? It's going to generate from how much dveikus you have on Shabbos.
Yeah, if you don't have.
There's no dveikus on Shabbos. It ain't having the other 6 days of the week because that's the optimal time. So now you take the dveikus of Shabbos. You're right. And then you're going to have to incorporate that as well into the 6 days of the week at times. You know, when you're learning Torah, and then you stop and say, now what did this learning Torah just accomplish? It's meant to accomplish a dveikus to Hashem. That's why Rabbi Nachman says you go from learning to davening to learning to davening to learning to davening. Because the davening really is supposed to reach the dveikus state. Right? But you have to have a certain hislatus before you get to the dveikus. Okay, very good. Turn up. Very good. Thank Hashem for this one.